Say hi to somebody, say you're welcome to church. Say you are welcome to church. Hallelujah. Church is the place to be. Okay, so we're going to continue our series, Blueprint for Spiritual Growth. Amen. Blueprint for Spiritual Growth. Now, last week we began to see the importance of, you know, we all pursuing spiritual growth. The importance, why we all must be found pursuing spiritual maturity. And we said it's because we are referred to as one body in Christ. Glory to God. Let's just, in quick succession, run through those verses of the Bible again. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Glory to God. Romans 12 and verse 4 to 5. Let's all read together. Romans 12, 4 to 5. Let's go. Romans 12, 4 to 5. Let's go. For as we have many members in one body, and what? Are we there at all? Romans 12, 4 to 5. Let's all read together. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Glory to God. You see, members of one another. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 4. Let's read together also. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 4. Want to go. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one. That's verse 5. Hallelujah. Look at chapter 4 and verse 25. Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 25. That's the same chapter, just verse 25. Let's all read together. I want to go. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Glory to God. We are what? Members of one another. Okay, so let's go to verse 11 now, where I'm going to start today. Verse 11 to 16. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, that is Christ, from whom the old what? The old what? Body, joined and what? Knit together by what every joint supplies. Hallelujah. According to the effective working by which every part does its what? Its share. Causes growth of the body for what? The edifying of itself in love. So the spiritual growth of the church rests upon the shoulder of how many people? Everybody. Everyone doing its own share. So ask your neighbor, when last did you supply to the body? Hallelujah. When last did you supply to the body? Very important question. When last did you make a supply, make a contribution to aid the growth of the body? Because your part is needed. That is why we all need to grow. So, you know, we began to also see that one major sign of growth is stability. Ephesians 4, 11 to 16. Specifically at verse 14, Bible says that we should no longer be what? Children or babes, tossed to and fro by every wind of what? Of doctrine. Hallelujah. Tossed to and fro by every what? Wind of doctrine. Is that grace? Alright. You are coming from Ibadan, Abi? Alright. For some people, Ikeja, yes, far. Praise God. Because I was shocked. Last night, I still called her when I heard that there was fight in Oyo. I knew she traveled to Ibadan. So I called her. She was still in Ibadan last night. And she came into church today from Ibadan. Praise God. All things are possible. Amen. Alright, so
Being children, let's not be no more children or babes, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You see, the phrase tossed to and fro there is the word that is used for the behavior of the wind or the waves of the sea. Tossed to and fro. Glory to God. Tossed to and fro. That's the Greek word kludonizomai. Kludonizomai. Just Greek word. Tossed to and fro. What does it mean? It means to, I said it's a term used to describe the effects of the wave of the sea. It means to be tossed by the waves. You see? Metaphorically, of course, because this is not about waves or seas. It's about people. So metaphorically, it means to be agitated mentally. You know, to have somebody agitate you mentally. You know the way you, the state you are in when you are agitated? Mentally. You are distorted. Praise God. Now, this word is from the root word kludon. This word is from the root word kludon, K-L-U-D-O-N, which means a surge of the sea or a raging wave. A surge of the sea or a raging wave. Hallelujah. A raging wave. So for just a few seconds, imagine how the waves of the sea tosses things to and fro. Just imagine for a few seconds. Just imagine in your mind. You can even close your eyes and imagine it. How, you know, things are driven. Now, if what you saw in your mind is a small river somewhere tossing, maybe a small boat you made with paper to and fro, you saw wrongly. Praise God. Because when we talk about the wave of the sea, we're not talking about some small water effect. We're talking about a sea. Amen. So there's some violence, there's turbulence. Glory to God. There's violence, there's turbulence. So imagine how, you know, it can throw even a boat away. That's exactly what happened to Jesus, you know, and his disciples. When Jesus was in the boat and the disciples were there and the wave arose. The Bible says they were tempest tossed. And then they were afraid, they were scared because they thought they were about to lose their lives. And then they said, Master, don't you care that we'll perish? The master that was sleeping, praise God. And, you know, they were just disturbed. Because that question doesn't make sense. Amen. Somebody is sleeping and you're saying, you don't care, we are perished. Is he meant to know from his sleep? Amen. You know, but they were disturbed. So the kind of question that came out, you know, they were already mentally disturbed. Glory to God. That's what Paul is likening the effect of false teaching to. Tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. So there's a violent tossing. Glory to God. Let's continue. There's a violent tossing. And look at Acts of Apostles 15:24. I want to show you an example. Have you met believers who seems as though they are about to lose their minds? And it's based on what they are receiving. The teachings they are exposing themselves to. And they are about to lose their minds. They are unsettled, disturbed, unquieted. Acts 15:24. Glory to God. Acts of Apostles 15 and verse 24. Look at this carefully. Bible says, since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words, unsettling your soul, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law. Paul says they have done what? They have troubled you with what? Unsettling your souls. Hallelujah. The word unsettling there is the word in the Greek which means to turn away violently from a right state. The word unsettling there is the word in the Greek that means to turn away violently from the right state. That means you were in your right state of mind until you began to expose your mind to certain things. And what were these guys saying? You must keep the law of Moses to be saved. So he says they unsettled their souls. They turned them away violently from the right state. They were already troubled. They were afraid. Glory to God. So, just because of what they were receiving, what they were taught. Now, do you know why false teaching has this kind of effect? Do you know why false teaching has the effect of, you know, unsettling people's souls? It is because it's only in the gospel you find faith, certainty, assurance, and hope. It's only in the gospel you find faith, assurance, certainty, and hope. False teaching does not in any way communicate hope. You will never find hope in false teaching. You will never find faith in false teaching. You will never find assurance in false teaching. So what do you find in false teaching? You find fear. Amen. Fear. These guys were already afraid. You find hopelessness, uncertainty. That's what you find in false teaching. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1 to 2. Hopelessness. So because of this reason, people are oftentimes agitated. People are often tossed to and fro. They are driven as in the case of a wave. They are violently driven. They are unsettled. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1 to 2. Glory to God. 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 to 2. Are we all there? Bible says, "Now brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, we ask you not to be what? Not to be what? Soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come." Apparently, there were some impostors who had, you know, or people were impersonating the apostles, and they had sent to this church, this church in Thessalonica. They had sent a letter to them. They had taught them, saying that, "Ah, man, Jesus already came home." You know the implication of that? You miss rapture. Praise God. So at that point in time, they were already unsettled. They were shaking in mind. Put this down. The word shaking is the word saleo. S-A-L-E-U-O. 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 Which also describes the behavior of winds, storms, and waves. It's the same. It also describes the behavior of winds, storm, and waves. It means to agitate the mind and to disturb. It means to agitate the mind and to disturb. The word troubled is the Greek word troheo. T-H-R-O-E-O. So imagine the effect of false teaching. T-H-R-O-E-O. And it means to be frightened or alarmed. So these guys were already frightened. They were already alarmed. They were already disturbed in their minds just because of what they were listening to. Glory be to God. Just because of what? What they were listening to. And so at Ephesians chapter 5 verse 14, when Paul was saying that you know, be tossed to and fro by, that we no longer be children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, he's saying so that we don't be in this state where we are troubled, we are alarmed, we are frightened, we are agitated, we are disturbed by false teaching. Instead of growth, what are you going to find? Confusion, fear, fright, disturb, you know, a disturbed state of mind. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's what it means to be shaken. So back to Ephesians 4:14. So tossed to and fro is to be violently thrown around. The man can never be stable. Violently thrown around is always in fear. Glory to God. You know, a preacher was given an example of, you know, times when he administered healings to people at different times. And he spoke about a particular woman who had this infirmity. She couldn't, you know, rise up. She was bent. And then, while he was about to pray for her, it just came to him to say to the woman, "God is not angry with you." And then he said, as he said it, the woman, for joy, hallelujah, for joy of, you know, what she just heard, "God is not angry with you." She just screamed, and you know, she was not trying to walk. She just screamed, "Ah!" And then, that's how her back just straightened. Praise God. Ah, so what put her in that state all this while? Glory to God. I know I said it in this church some time ago that, see, you can receive false teaching, fear, you know, to a point where you enter depression. I hope you know. There are Christians already depressed. It is not because of happenings in the world. It's because of teachings. The things they've heard over and over and over again. I mean, there are folks who said, while they were younger, they were always living in constant fear of missing heaven. And that when they see a thunder, or they hear thunder, they're already thinking, maybe Jesus is coming. You know, that kind of state. Amen. The man is disturbed. The man is frightened. He's afraid. He's in a state where he is unstable. Glory to God. Violently thrown around. Now, why does the wave toss things around? Anybody? Why does the wave toss things around? Huh? Because what? Because of its force, one. Any other person? Why does wave toss things around? There's a major reason. Because it's not stable. Because it's not rooted. Hallelujah. Can a wave toss about a tree that is firmly rooted? It's impossible. Hallelujah. So the reason why things are tossed about is because there's no root. There's no what? Root. So you see the importance of having roots, the importance of building roots and having solid convictions. You know, at Colossians chapter 2, let's see this. Verse 6 to 8. Paul makes us see the importance of building roots as Christians. There must be solid convictions. No root. Colossians 2 and verse 6 to 7. Glory to God. You know, at Ephesians 4:14, it says tossed about and carried about. Carried about too is a word that means to be driven in hesitation and doubt. Here and there. That is, today you are with this opinion, tomorrow you are gone. Tomorrow again you are back. And then, I mean, there's no stability. Amen. You go here and there and then you go back and forth. You are not stable. You've seen examples of people like that. The man cannot stay with sound doctrine. The issues of life, the affairs of life, those are the waves actually. The issues of life, circumstances, toss you to and fro. Your faith or your, let me say, your belief system is based on your present circumstance. Glory to God. It's a poor state to be as a Christian. So at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6 to 7, Bible says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with what? With thanksgiving. The word rooted there is the Greek word rhizo. R-H-I-Z-O-O. R-H-I-Z-O-O. Which means to become stable. It means to become stable. It also means to render firm. To become stable. To render firm. To establish. Praise God. When we say a man has roots, we mean the man is stable. The man has become firm in his beliefs. He has become stable. He's established. It also means to cause a person or a thing to be grounded. To cause a person or a thing, in fact, to be thoroughly grounded. That's what it means to have roots. Amen. When we say a man has grown roots, a man has grown deep roots, it means the man is thoroughly grounded. Hallelujah. Thoroughly grounded. This is the same word used at Ephesians 3:17. Look at this. What are we to be thoroughly grounded in? Not just in anything, in the doctrine of Christ. Ephesians in chapter 3, verse 17. Look at what it says. Let's start from verse 14 for contextual appraisal. It says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be what? To be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being what? Rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So what are we meant to be rooted in? In the love of God, in the love of Christ, the gospel message. There must be being grounded, being thoroughly rooted in the knowledge of Christ. Glory be to God. And see, that is the only antidote to not being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You see, Paul says wind of doctrine. You see, he's using the word wind again as a metaphor. Because that's the same way, you know, false doctrines have capacity to drive people around. They are like wind. They are almost everywhere. That's what it means. You know, there's no place you go to that you won't find wind. You won't find breeze and all that. So they are everywhere. When he says every wind of doctrine, it's everywhere. False doctrine is all around you. False teachings are everywhere around us. And we can be tossed to and fro by those things if we do not live the state of spiritual infancy. If we don't live the state of being baked in the faith. Glory to God. Tossed to and fro. Look at this now. So, look at Colossians 2 verse 6 again. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. After he said rooted, what followed it? Rooted and what? And built up. You know, it shows you how that this is how growth happens. It's not first about, you know, what is on the outside. It's first about the root. Amen. Before a man is built up, because the word built up there actually means to build on something. So there's first roots. There's the building of roots, growing your convictions. Those are mostly like silent times. One of the reasons why roots, trees cannot be tossed to and fro and cannot be carried about anyhow is because of their roots. Their roots have grown deep down. One translation says, let your roots grow deep down. Let it go deep down. Hallelujah. Because see, when a tree is well rooted, it's impossible for just anything to come and, you know, put it. You know, they have to carry caterpillar and bulldozer, amen, to come and remove some trees. Some trees are so stubborn that after they remove all the whole thing, by the time they come back again, you know what's happening? It's already growing back. Why is it growing back again? Because the root has gone deep down. In fact, a lot of times people do not realize that that's what is happening. So in the village, they say they are killing a tree that has witches. So they cut the tree. It's growing again. They say, ah, I want a jay. Praise God. It's not a jay. It's the fact that the tree has roots. Amen. So, you know what they will now do? Some of them will now, you know, to really kill the tree, they will now cut the root, cut everything, and dig the whole place and bring salt. Bags of salt and pour into it. Because that's the way to kill it finally. Praise God. The root has gone so deeply into the ground. And that's the prescription we have in scriptures. That we let our roots go deep down. That is, you become so solid in your convictions. Nothing can easily just shake you and toss you to and fro. There are certain things you are meant to hear in the church that should not even move you or bother you. Or hear from preachers. But that is not the case with every believer. You hear some things and throughout that week, you are already confused, you are already afraid, you are already nothing uncertainty. During the COVID period, do you know how many people, we are still in it actually, but you know, a lot of conspiracy theories flying around. Do you know how many people were carried about by those things? Do you know how many believers thought, ah, really, it's the end of the world. And Jesus will show up in any moment from now. Many Christians were confused. Because their roots have not gone deep down. Hallelujah. They are not solid in their convictions. Amen. I mean, why should we be judging spiritual things by the sign of the world? The sign of the sky. Amen. You see a red sky. Ah, maybe Jesus is about to come. You know, the Bible says the coming of the Lord Jesus will be like a thief in the night. That is, there will be no earthly observation. There will be no sign in the cloud. Amen. There will be no sign in the cloud. There won't be some fire somewhere. People know, ah, man, something's about to come. I've seen people take pictures of a horse in the sky. What's that? Hallelujah. You don't know that this cloud, you can, in fact, not this cloud. If you look at this terrazzo work very well, if you pay attention, some of the things that, you know, are dead, they can form the image or a picture of a person. Have you noticed it before? You see, those are people who used to look at the floor when they are praying. Praise God. So, you're piecing things together, you're counting things. So, it can be an image. It means nothing. In fact, the person that did it did not know it's there. It's accidental. Hallelujah. So, sometimes the cloud can arrange in a way where you see a footprint. Amen. You don't say, ah, those are aliens. So, aliens are walking. That's the footprint of an alien. You don't judge things like that. Hallelujah. So you don't see a horse, a picture of a horse in the cloud, and then you say, that means Jesus is about to come. We know from the word of God that the coming of Christ is without any sign, any physical sign. Hallelujah. It's going to come upon the world like a thief in the night. Glory to God. So you know, but babes are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. They don't know what to believe. Amen. Back to Colossians, or let me say Ephesians now, Ephesians chapter 4. Oh, sorry, Colossians 2. At Colossians 2, when it says built up and established, that word established also is the word that means to stabilitate, to make sure, to confirm. Hallelujah. To stabilitate. That is, the man is in a position where he is already firmly rooted. Firmly rooted is established. See, in a much simpler term, it means what he knows it well. Hallelujah. What he has come to know, he knows it well. What he has come to believe is already his conviction. Amen. It is not they said. After everything you have received, it must now become your own thing. Glory be to God. Your own thing. The woman by the well, when Jesus was, you know, done having conversation with her, you know what she did? She went into the villages of Samaria. And then she went everywhere. She was telling everybody about Jesus. And then the people came around. You know what they did? They came to find Jesus themselves. And then Jesus came to meet them, went into their village, and taught them for many days. And after it was done, you know what the people said? They said, see, now we know for ourselves, hallelujah, that this is the Messiah. You get to a point where the conviction that was transferred to you by way of preaching now becomes something you have come to know. It's now yours. That even when the preacher backslides, amen, and the preacher starts saying something else, you are fixed in your own belief. What you have come to know, you know it well. Several years ago, my pastor came across a particular man who was preaching that the scriptures were false. Paul was not, he was not preaching against Christianity. He was only saying that half of the New Testament was false. That is, Paul was the one that brought his own doctrine. And then he was sharing out that Jesus' doctrine differs from Paul's doctrine. And then he was quoting scriptures copiously. Wow! This was a man that taught redemption realities from Paul's letters in the 90s. And in the 2000, in the year 2000 plus, this man is already saying something else. But you know, my pastor was there, and you know, I was right with him, and he was responding to that man on his blog. And you know, you taught us this thing, but it's beyond you. And all that. He was one of the people that taught him God's word. And today he's saying something else. Where would you stand if today your pastor begins to say, well, these things, I'm not really sure about them anymore. Where would you stand? That's what we're talking about. Convictions. Roots. Conviction. Roots. Where it is beyond what they said to you. It is that, see, you have come to know this is the word of eternal life. Hallelujah. This is the truth of the gospel. Nothing changes it. I'm already persuaded from the word of God. I know what I've believed. Hallelujah. That's it. That's what we're talking about. Roots going deep down. Now, I'm not saying it's until your pastor backslides, you will know whether you're really convinced. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying even if it comes to that, we know a man of conviction by that kind of position where you are able to take your stand and maintain your stance irrespective of who is backsliding. Glory to God. Building roots. Let's keep on. So, the word established there is also used in Hebrews. Hebrews 13, verse 8 to 9. Hebrews 13, 8 to 9. Established in the faith. The man has to be confirmed. He has to be made sure. Established in the faith. Hebrews 13, and verse 8 to 9. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Therefore, do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. For it is good that the earth be what? Established by grace. Not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. So what are we to be established again with? By grace. The knowledge of Christ. So guys, there's strong roots to be developed. And you know, when there's strong root, you know what happens? The man cannot be tossed to and fro. When you find a believer who is confused, who is tossed to and fro today, he has this question about this, you answer him, he comes back again, the same matter. He is yet to develop conviction from the word of God. Hallelujah. Root is the reason why you will not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And what did Paul say in Ephesians 4:14? That is the cause for that. He says, being babes. Amen. Being what? Being babes. And what is the word babes again? Nepios. Which means what? Spiritual infancy. It means to be childish, to be untaught, to be unskilled. The man is a babe. And because he's a babe, it can easily be confused. And I said last week that we all start at this phase, right? We all begin as babes. Not knowing, you know, what to believe. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word of God. So, it says to all, desire God's word like newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of God's word. So now that we are born again, now that we are in Christ, we ought to develop, you know, thirst and passion for the word. Because we all start at the state of, you know, not being really taught. unskilled, confused, non-discerning. But it's a state to outgrow. Say to your neighbor, it's a state to outgrow. Say to your neighbor, the state of being a babe is a state to outgrow as a Christian. Look at Hebrews 5:13. Hebrews 5:13. It's a state to outgrow. You have to outgrow it. By the way, I hope you remember we're going to submit our notes today. If you are not in church with your notes, it's because you did not listen all through the week. If you listen all through the week, you remember you have to bring your notes. So that one is settled. Amen. Hebrews 5:13. Bible says, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is what? He is a babe. Why is he unskilled in the word of righteousness? Because he's a babe. He's untaught, he's childish. Glory to God. Now, in case it has never occurred to you before, that means the entire Galatian churches, including their pastors, were babes. Hallelujah. Has it occurred to you before? The entire Galatian churches, including their leaders and pastors and everybody, you know, the people overseeing them, all of them were babes, childish, spiritually infant. That was the reason why they were able to, you know, they were not able to even discern falsehood when they came into their midst. That was the reason why the old church, without any exception, the old church, all the churches were carried away. They were all bewitched. Imagine a whole church can be full of babes. Hallelujah. A whole church. Now, this was a church Paul taught to. What church? Hallelujah. You know, sometimes you are amazed. That's the word. You are amazed that somebody can be around the world for many years. It could be 3, 4, 5 years. And then later the person is saying something else. From the word to a legalist church where they now believe you must do something to be saved. From the world to a church where the emphasis is material things. And, you know, this life, progress in life, making money, succeeding. And then you're like, ah, this guy was all about the world some years back. Sometimes it's from the world to a mystical church where they are all about mysticism. Amen. The pastor comes in with a red cap, a yellow cape, praise God, and a green shoe. I'm not talking fashion now, praise God. It's mystical. Today is Valentine's Day, isn't it? Who is wearing red? Ah, she is wearing red tie. Praise God. Mystical things. Now, it's not doing bad. Praise God. It's not a crime anyway. But this is the point. You can go from the world to a very mystical church where they are all about mystical things. There are people who are obsessed with numbers. 7 is the number of perfection. 3 is the number of what now? 3 is the number, number of Trinity. Hallelujah. 5 is the number of grace. Amen. Until you check the Greek word and the Yoruba word. Charis is 6 words. Praise God. And then Ori Ofe is how many? 6 with the hyphen, 7. Praise God. So, people are just obsessed with things. You can go from being a learner of God's word, somebody who is fascinated by the truth alone, loves the word, to a very mystical assembly. Hallelujah. Very mystical assembly. Where dreams and interpretation of dreams have a particular method. When you eat in your dream, it is because something wrong is about to happen. It could just be that you were hungry. Hallelujah. No, if you sleep hungry, you eat in your dream, most likely. And you know, sometimes you eat the most sumptuous meal, something you cannot even afford sometimes. In your meal, in your dream, they'll just bring all kinds of, it's a banquet. You can serve yourself, praise God. Only to wake up and see Gary. So, but you have a church where there's already a fixed way of interpreting things. By the way, dreams can be so funny, the interpretation may be far from what you saw. I hope you know. I was sharing with them yesterday. I think it was Adun that had stomach ulcer complications and all that. And I was sharing with them that overnight, I had a dream that we lost somebody to stomach ulcer complication, and that person had to be my sister, and the name of my sister is Anu. And then in the dream, the Anu was unmarried, but you know, the Anu, my sister, is married. Do you get it? So, but that was just a signal for me to pray, you know, against that. Only for them to call me in church and say Adu, Anu and Adu, two syllables. Praise God, they sound alike. And she was the one that had stomach complications due to ulcer. So imagine what I saw in the dream. Praise God. Was not. Why does it happen that way? Because of the state of our minds, most times. So what God was just trying to get across to me is the fact that there was a need towards to pray. Glory be to God. But you know, I could have said Anu. Ah, and all that. And then my mind is just only on Anu. But because it didn't add up, she was unmarried in the dream. And people were saying, ah, could the team marry you? Could the team? And you know, I'm like, ah, Anu is married. So imagine having a fixed way of interpreting. How do you interpret that through all these books that they sell? 600 dreams and interpretations. And you buy it, you think you are made. Hallelujah. What's the essence anyway? Would you have 600 dreams in your lifetime? 600 different dreams. There's a problem. If you dream all the dreams in this world, in that book, there's a problem. Hallelujah. You should not. Praise God. You buy the book and you think you are made. So you are already very mystical. Mystical in your approach to spiritual things. Glory to God. Mystical. Have you seen some of the songs in the body of Christ today? The man is just obsessed with mystical things. I think it was on my brother's status. I saw somebody writing a song saying, I'm going into the door of fire. Air fire lundo you. Praise God. What do you mean by door of fire? I'm entering in into the door of fire. You know, it's just mystical. The name of Jesus is not enough. Being in the Holy Ghost, talking in tongues is not enough. It was a door of fire. Hallelujah. Inferno. Praise God. Hey. So you can, the point is, you can go from the word to a very mystical setting. Hallelujah. A very mystical setting. You just see the man suddenly has developed interest in wearing white clothes. Every time he wants to, there's a ministration, he wears white. Hallelujah. How much you have noticed you now like white? Don't worry. Praise God. White. Because to him, there's something attached to that color. White. Hallelujah. Have you met Awon Yeye Osun before? Amen. There are many times you're saying white is the color of God. Yeye Osun, the color is white. The thing they use also, the chalk, is white. Praise God. If you enter the shrine, all the place is covered in white. So there is nothing special about the white color. Amen. You will be shocked on the last day that 666 is not 666. Amen. You think you will see 666 on people's head? It's just a metaphor. Hallelujah. They will not write anything on people's heads. Because whatever is written on your head can be cleaned. Praise God. Unless it's permanent tattoo. But then, it is not number. It's not 666. So there's nothing significant about the number itself. So number 7, number 5, number 9, all these things. You can go from being a word person to being a very mystical person. How? By paying attention to the things they are saying. Glory to God. You can go from a word person to a very legalistic person. Where you cannot do without your scarf as a lady. Eh? Your scarf. Let us pray. You pick your scarf. Every time you pick your scarf. Where was God before we started praying? Maybe it's because of God you want to wear your scarf. So where was He before we started praying? You can go to a point where you are now very legalistic. You don't do makeup. Not because everybody must do makeup. But your own motivation is because you feel that makeup will take people to hell. You don't do makeup anymore. You start wearing only jalabiya. Praise God. You don't want to look hellish. Praise God. You can go from a place of the word to that kind of setting. And see, the Galatian church, like I told you, all of them were carried away. All of them. So all of them were babies, including the pastor, the leader, the treasurer, the accountant. All of them in the church were babes. A church that Paul taught the word of God. You see, this idea of receiving the word and building solid convictions is not joke. You can go from a solid word man to a joking man in a couple of months. A very joking person. Amen. Very joking person. Now he's also carrying anointing oil with them in the body of Christ. Everywhere you have bottles. We come to your house, different bottles. Somebody takes it, uses to fry egg. You are very hungry. Because he does not know. Praise God. No, some people can come and visit you. You just think the oil is vegetable oil. Use it to fry something. You get angry. People have fought themselves in the body of Christ because somebody took their comb. Because the comb is not ordinary comb. Hallelujah. The comb is the power of God. Amen. You can go from the word to such a state in no time. The entire Galatian churches are a proof of that reality. Look at Galatians 1:69. Are a proof of that reality. So, listen guys, you must guard your mind. You must watch the things you receive. You must watch the things you are feeding on. You must fix your receiving so that your mind is fixed on God's word perpetually. Otherwise, you can move from being solid in the word to being very, very, very joking. Tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. To being unestablished in the word of faith. Glory to God. And I'm going to show you the circumstances of life, the challenges of life actually make people review their convictions. Suddenly, the man no longer really believes in those things. Suddenly, the man no longer believes in healing power, in miracles. Suddenly, the man does not believe God can answer prayers. Why? He's been believing God for a job opportunity. He has not gotten it. And then he begins to review his belief, his persuasion. Hallelujah. Begins to reveal his persuasion. You know, sometimes people have very amazing spiritual experiences and later they forget that they ever had them because of their state now. Like a woman reached out to me, she's my very good friend. And then she reached out to me, she was having some crisis, health issues. And then I said, but you've been healed before. He said, Pastor, I can't even remember. I said, you cannot remember. She said, yes, and all that. You know, funny enough, she really could not remember. And then she kept talking about that. And then she says, it's not that I'm doubting healing, no. It's just that I'm not really persuaded. I need God to help my faith and all that. So I said, wow. I said, that's interesting. If you had never witnessed healing before, that's interesting. Maybe that's the reason why you're doubting that. And I said, maybe that's not even the reason. Feed on God's word. You know what? The same person now came back to me 2 weeks later. She was still in that state. She came back to me 2 weeks later and said, ha, Pastor, I have remembered. I've actually been healed 3 times. And you know, in fact, the first one that she got healed of did not resurface at all again. She got healed in a fellowship on campus of a particular infirmity that had lingered in her body since childhood. And she had forgotten. Is this possible? Yes. Hallelujah. She forgot. Amen. She began to say, I'm not even sure anymore. Hallelujah. She's not the only person that has had this kind of experience. So I've spoken with people at different times who have had the same experience. That you can move from what you used to know to a point where you now doubt everything and you start reading meanings into them. Maybe it was just a coincidence. Maybe it was not God that spoke. You were led by the Holy Ghost. Accurate description and direction. You knew what to do. You went there. You saw it as you heard it in your spirit. Hallelujah. And years later, maybe it was just my mind. Because of the state you are now in as a babe, as a spiritual infant, a man who has now been tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, a man who is not stable any longer. Glory to God. It's a question of how deep your root has gone. Glory to God. Listen, don't say, I can never get to that state. I can, oh God. You think so? Hallelujah. You think so? I don't believe in sowing and reaping. It's not really a Christocentric thing. Praise God. I don't. You will soon preach 6-part series on sowing and reaping. Justifying the practice, teaching it as the way God prospers people. You will soon do 6-part series or 8-part series or an unending series, always showing on Instagram, teaching people sowing and reaping. Hallelujah. It's about how far your root has gone.
I don't believe in all this deliverance. Wait until you are very sick and you're about to die. Maybe you'll not be browsing YouTube and be looking for deliverance minister. Situations reveal people's convictions. Glory to God. Situations. Your convictions will just come out to you. You know, like somebody said to me that he began to promise God, if you can heal me, I will serve you forever. Hey, is that why God heals? Praise God. If you can just heal me, I will serve you forever. Surely serve it. Was your service to Christ meant to be based on whatever things you are getting now? The man began to reveal everything. Of course, he got healed. God works in, you know, in mercy and grace. But then, after that experience, when he was discussing, he now said, he discovered how strong he was during that state. He began to reveal everything he had come to believe. Imagine you, a word man, making a promise to God. If you do this, I'll do it forever. Something you have mocked before. Some people, jail by, praise God. Trials, afflictions, tests. Think it was a joke. Men like Paul, with all that they saw and experienced, that they did not shift their ground. You think it was a joke? That they did not start reviewing their faith, the tenets of their faith. A man was hungry, Paul, hungry, in poverty, lack, afflictions. In fact, at some point, the man Paul said he suffered shipwreck 3 times. Do you know what is shipwreck? Sea accident. A old man of God, an apostle on his way to go and preach, has shipwreck. And he's swimming. He's swimming. Who is that? That's Paul. Help. Praise God. In fact, he said one time, all through the night, he was in the sea. Glory to God. Struggling, trying to survive. Yet, his convictions were the same. Hallelujah. Was it not the same Paul that says, I know whom I have believed? See, it's not about whatever is happening. It's about my convictions. It's a question of how far my root has gone. So this question of building convictions, or you know, this thing of building convictions is not a joke. It's a serious thing. Galatian churches were men who were taught by Paul. You know, the way we talk about Paul today, we say, Paulo, the way that man is intelligent with scriptures, the way he taught, I like the way he teaches. Paul, can you be taught by Paul and you backslide? Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. A whole church, all of them carried away over to false teaching. Galatians in chapter 1 in verse 69. Let's see some things Paul said to these guys. Galatians 1. 6 to 9. Situations reveal the state of your convictions. You know, because those are the waves. So you don't say, why is the wave so much? The question is, why is the tree not rooted? That's the right question. Because whether the waves are much or not, if the tree is rooted, it will not be moved. Praise God. Galatians 1:69. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. For even if we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what we have received, let him be accursed. These men were already carried away to another gospel. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. Look at the description in this place. Galatians 3 verse 1. Glory to God. Glory to God. Spiritual infancy is terrible. It messes people up. Instability. You are neither here nor there. Today you are for the world. Tomorrow you are doubting the world. Next tomorrow, it messes people up. That's why it's a state you must quit. And I'm showing you blueprints for spiritual maturity. The first thing you must do is to fix your receiving. How are you receiving? You know, a lot of Christians are deluded to think they are committed. And you know what the delusion is? You come to church on Sunday, you come on Wednesday, you come on Saturday. Yeah, I'm committed. And all through the week, you are not really giving the same time to God's word. And you think you are committed. Conviction is not built that way. It's not a Sunday routine. Listen, you must have the same attention you are paying to God's word in this meeting this morning. You must have this same attention every day of the week. That is what is called growth. That is how to receive the word. You know, because the early church was taught how many days? Daily. How many days was Jesus spending with his disciples? So what is the problem today? Because of the culture or the environment we are living in. We are not all together, are we? We are not all living together. So we are scattered all over the place. But thank God for technology. People can have the same commitment all through the week. So because there was never a day Peter and John and Andrew and these guys were not taught the word. There was not one day. Hallelujah. There was never a day in the early church where there was no teaching of God's word. Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread and prayers. Acts 2:46, and they continued daily in the temple. It was a daily affair. Amen. Paul says, don't forget, I warned you for the space of 3 years, night and day. So imagine that kind of commitment. That's what brings growth. Receiving every day. Not that you struggle to pay attention to every day with Jesus on your way to Mount 12. Okay, well, Jesus is Lord. Everything mixing together and you think you are growing. Amen. No. You must go away from the noise. Get away from the crowd. Pay attention to it all over again. Listen carefully. Take note. The way you are listening now in church is the way you must listen every day of the week. That is how to grow. Praise God. Do you get what I'm saying? So, it's a delusion. Say, I'm really committed. Are you really committed? Hallelujah. Food is daily. You don't eat well on Monday and on Tuesday you free lunch. And then you expect to grow healthily. The diet is important. The consistency of the diet is also very important. So you don't receive once and then you wait till Wednesday. You come to church, you're fired up again. Listen, a man that comes to church to be fired up every time, never fired up, oh, comes to church, let's pray. And the symptom is everywhere. Let's pray. People are looking. Let's pray. And we have to do a 10-minute admonition to get you to start praying because you came for a meeting. It's a sign of how you spent your week. Amen. You know, when you receive the word, you are fired up. Abi, you are strengthened. You are revived in your mind. There's vigor. There's energy. Spiritual strength. Imagine now listening to it every day. It happens to you the same way. You are edified. You are built up. There's strength. You know, some of the things you think you have heard, you don't even know them. Go and read about how things stick with people. You'll be shocked. In a sermon of 20 minutes, the only thing that may stick with you may not be more than, 5 minutes. In one listening, you'll be shocked. In a sermon of 2 hours, the only thing you will take away from this place clearly may not be more than 20 minutes of the discourse. That's first listening. So you listen again. That's why when you rewatch a movie, you will see some things you did not see before. But you watched it, and then you say, I didn't know this was there. Last week, somebody was telling me, man, this stuff, I just got it clearly. It's in my 2017 notes. And this person was in church when I explained it. Glory to God. 2017 notes. Because the human mind does not have the capacity to just have everything once. So you pay attention over and over again. And I'm saying to you, until you receive the word as though you are in church every day of the week. You have a time you go about, even if it's just 1 hour, you set aside at least 1 hour. And then you listen and you pay attention. And you have your notes and you are going through it. Until you do that, don't say, I've committed, I'm saying nothing. It's a lie. You cannot commit to God's word as you ought to and you will not get results. Bible kind results, you will get it. Glory to God. Growth will happen to you, you'll be shocked. So don't deceive yourself. You have to fix your receiving and your hearing. How am I receiving the word of God? Am I a once in a while hearer or an everyday hearer of God's word? Hallelujah. Am I an on the go listener or paying attention listener? I have my notes. Even in the church service like this, some folks don't have notes. Some have their notes only there for decoration. You know, somebody said he found a lady that was writing studiously during the meeting, and after the meeting, went to meet the preacher. Was excited, went to meet the woman and said, what were you writing? Saw the note. He was drawing the head of the preacher. She was drawing the head of the preacher. Imagine drawing the head of the preacher. Say, ah, it's is this your sermon note? Yes. What's this? I couldn't want to write the preacher, praise God, beyond the preaching. Try the end of the preacher. So what are you writing in your notes now? If we check your notes, what are we going to see? Hallelujah. Oh, I'm tired. I need to. That's what some people are writing in their notes. This is Nigeria. This is Nigeria. That's what, in a church meeting. What are you writing? How do you receive? How often do you receive? Very important realities. Hallelujah. That best spiritual growth. Galatians in chapter 3. Hallelujah. Galatians 3 and verse 1. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. Hallelujah. The KJV says Jesus was evidently set forth. You see that phrase, evidently set forth or portrayed, the word portrayed is a word used to describe the work of an artist. Praise God. Used to describe what? The work of an artist. Which is the word prographo. P-R-O-G-R-A-P-H-O. P-R-O-G-R-A-P-H-O. It's used to describe the work of an artist. Glory to God. Which means to paint, as in a portrait. To paint. So Paul was in essence saying, see, we taught you Christ in a way that it was like you saw him. Amen. We taught you Jesus, we taught you the gospel in such a way that it was as though you saw him, you saw his picture, you saw his portrait. That was how this church was taught. Yet they all retrieved or reverted back to the law of Moses. Glory to God. Because they were babes. Look at how the NIV, or NLT rather, says this. It says, for the meaning of Jesus Christ's death was made as clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death on the cross. It was made as clear like you saw a picture. Paul is talking about how he systematically indoctrinated these guys. Taught them the truth. These were not the kind of men or caliber of men you would have thought would go back to something else. They were well taught. Hallelujah. I mean, trust the apostles now. They were well taught. Daily teachings. Like I said to you, daily. Paul's journey to different places. When Paul was in Asia, he taught them every day. When he was in Ephesus, he taught them every day till he left. When he was in the Corinthian church, every till he left. That was the mission. Amongst the Galatians, he must have taught every day. Showing them the truth of Christ. Suddenly, they had gone back to something else. Hallelujah. It was so heartbreaking. I mean, you can't blame Paul for saying, oh, foolish Galatians, thoughtless Galatians, unintelligent guys, because of his effort and labor over them. He had labored over them to a point where he did not expect that kind of outcome at all. But I'm saying to you, it is very possible. The journey for spiritual growth is not joke. Say to your neighbor, it's not joke. Hallelujah. Say to your neighbor, are you ready to grow? Say, you must be ready to pay the price. No, because in this time and age, you find people, what guys? Hallelujah. What guys say, there's no price to pay. You're talking about salvation, no. In spiritual growth and discipleship, there's a price to be paid. Commitment. Your time. You're not frivolous. You now receive the word of God and you're expecting the right result. And like somebody who doesn't eat on time but wants to always be healthy. Glory to God. Where is Adam? Okay. Yesterday I was asking, I said, and you know, because in that dream, it came to me, people were saying, cooking jam. So I said, this ulcer, is it that you don't eat? Because we have to ask those questions. Because there's a brother in this church who eats well, and has ulcer. Amen. So, don't assume everybody that has ulcer is not eating well. This brother, he eats well. In fact, you know what he says? He says, if you serve him in the morning, maybe you serve good bread and something like that. It's just an appetizer. That's not the food. And it's not that he's trying to be a bad person. That's how he was raised. They prepare for them early in the morning, pre-breakfast, then you have breakfast. So you see that thing you used to eat on Saturday? It's nowhere for him. He's just starting his day. Praise God. He eats well and he has ulcer. So the doctor now said, well, there are other things that cause ulcer, like stress. Glory to God. So, but in this case of us, you say, I don't like eating. You don't like eating. What does that even mean? Glory to God. Eh? You don't like eating. You know, such people, their siblings enjoy being around them. You know, serve you food. Before you eat, evil people say, oh, Lejena. Oh, Lejena. Let him start. Hallelujah. You enjoy being around the person because he doesn't like it. So I said, eat. So imagine, you should not be shocked that you're not growing as you should. Or that you have ulcer if you don't eat. That's the same way you should not be shocked you are not growing as you should as a Christian if you are not receiving the word like you should. It's simple. Hallelujah. It's simple. Don't say, I'm really shocked. Why are you shocked? The man that should be shocked is the man that has given full attention to the word of God and is seeing nothing. And that man does not exist. Hallelujah. That man does not exist. You know, one time, in 2010, or I think 11, I reached out to my pastor and I said, I didn't know the word works like this. I didn't know. He said, so you didn't know this word. You know what I was saying? Because that time, I was always studying scriptures, always studying. So, you know, the experiences I was having were very great. I mean, I could walk into somebody and hear the person's name, word for word. They were great experiences. And not just that, I was strong. I had battled addiction to porn and all those. I just forgot them. So I said, I didn't know. God. He said, so you didn't know this way. I said, I didn't know. Because, you know, I was even one of the most committed guys in church. But the commitment was really not there. So when I really began to make progress, it even shocked me that I thought I was committed. Hallelujah. It shocked me. Because that was now when I still have my notes. When I was now listening every day. I had a tape. I would listen to it. I would take notes. I would listen to it. Every day. I have my notes. 2010. It's a big note like this. I think I've shown some people in this place. Big note. Every day you find the date, you find the preacher. Every day. And I saw tremendous growth. Hallelujah. Impact of the word. Glory to God. The impact of the word. It will come when you feed as you ought to feed. Glory to God. Say to your neighbor, fix your receiving. Say to your neighbor, fix your receiving. There's no such thing as, you know, I've received the word, I'm not seeing anything. No. If you receive the word as you ought to, continually, you will see growth. Hallelujah. Growth will happen to you as it ought to be. So imagine, it says, we set Jesus before you. We made him as clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death on the cross. Imagine a church taught by Paul, like I said to you. Imagine a church taught by the apostles. So that means you can be 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 years in the world, around the world. And you know what? It's not just a bandwagon thing. Our word church. Praise God. We word people. Are you a word person? Glory to God. Do you get what I'm saying? We word people. Are you really a word person? Because it's beyond we are a word church. It's about I'm a word person. I've come to stay with the word. I've come to know the word. I've come to understand the word. And I live my life by the word of God. I feed on the word every day because I know my life depends on it. Hallelujah. That's what we're talking about. So it cannot be a bandwagon effect. Men of convictions, put this down in your notes. Men of convictions are known for their stability and consistency through all seasons of life. Men of convictions are known for their stability and consistency through all seasons of life. Glory to God. Men of convictions are known for their stability and consistency through all seasons of life. Praise God. Difficult times, as I said. Trials. Not only that, different phases of life. When you were a student, what was your attitude to God's word? As a student. You know, as a student, many times, people see themselves as young. So the humility towards receiving God's word is not because they are really humble. It's just because they are young. And the person teaching them is way older. Praise God. So you are receiving, you are receiving. Then suddenly he leaves campus, begins to work. He's now a working class fellow. Hallelujah. Working, I mean, you earn your own money. You are now independent. You even rented your own apartment. Praise God. People should be careful. Amen. So be careful how they talk. So, phases of life also change how people receive God's word. The man suddenly becomes a big man. Amen. Then you get married. Some people are so married. So married. Amen. Now, there are people who deliberately show their ring every time. But you know what I've discovered? This ring will show itself. There's that aspect. Hallelujah. You know, because I discovered that I went to buy something at the supermarket, so I was giving the person some directions, and I noticed the person was looking at the ring as though I was trying to let her know I'm married. You get? Was looking at the ring and laughed. I'm like, I'm not trying to show you Ringo. Praise God. And we laughed about it. You know, it will show itself. But there are people who want you to know they are married. Amen. When last did you pray? You need to be coming for midweek service. Praise God. I know I will come. Pastor, you cannot understand. Pastor, you meet Mario. Praise God. Watch the way midweek service is about. Praise God. I choose when to come. What about be divorced? Divorce too is part of it. Some people divorce and that's the end of their Christianity. And divorce is not really such a big deal, because a person that is divorced may even be very spiritual. The other person can divorce you because you are very spiritual. Praise God. Selah. The other person can divorce you because you are very spiritual. You've not seen such cases before. So it's not both parties that are always wrong in those things. It takes two people. So imagine a spouse that says, from today, I'm no more into all these words thing. That's the end of the marriage, most likely. Because if you are still going to be in the word, the person will not allow you rest. Amen. So the person can walk away. And we've seen cases like that before. And that phase of life can actually dictate how you go about your Christianity from that point. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. It can dictate how you see life. It can dictate your commitment. And everything you want to focus on now is how to get the marriage second time and get it right. That is the only message you're interested in. And then you get another marriage and you divorce again. Praise God. Because that's not what will make you have a good marriage. Then you get another marriage, you divorce again. May it not be your portion. Praise God. Abi? It's not like that. We don't know where we're going to end. Amen. We're just trusting God. You don't decide how people turn out eventually. You don't. So the guarantee should be on you, right? That me, I'm going to grow. And if I get into a marriage, it's going to work on my part. Hallelujah. If the other person decides to not make it work, there's really nothing you can do about it. Amen. Really nothing. So that phase of life itself is something that people are going to deal with. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Which among you have seen his future? God has shown you. No divorce. Okay, Pastor. No, let's not be thinking negative. Let's not be. It's not negative. Am I saying you will not make it? I'm only saying there's the possibility of it. Paul says, is any man married? Let him not think about being free from it. Is any of you loosed? The word loosed there is divorce. Is any one of you loosed? Let him not think of getting remarried. But if he remarries, he has not sinned. Glory to God. It happens. What should that do for you as a Christian? To make it a decision on your own part, to make sure it works on your own part. Glory to God. It works. If it depends on me, my marriage will work. Hallelujah. If it depends on me. If the other person walks away, too bad, sad, not cool, but life moves on. Amen. Life moves on. Life moves on. There are pastors in Nigeria today that are divorced. Guess what? Life has moved on. Hallelujah. They say, how can a pastor? A pastor. People leave Jesus. Glory to God. The husband of the church. People leave him. Glory to God. Left to Jesus, he will stay. Have you? Till the end of time. People left. By the time he rose again from the dead, out of how many people? He appeared to 500 brethren. Just 120 remained on the day of Pentecost. They were gone. And Jesus did not tie them by force. People have a choice. Glory to God. So what do we emphasize in this church? That you allow the other party also immerse his mind in the word of God. Grows. Because if that is not happening, anything can happen. Amen. And when it happens, I will not say, man, I cannot believe this. I know what happened. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's been a long while I've been shocked at such cases. Yeah, I cannot believe. What can I not believe? It has happened. Praise God. And not just that. I know why. Hallelujah. I know why. It's either both of them became joking or one of them became joking and walked away. It's simple. You can never miss it. Glory to God. That's it. So, how did we get here? You can be around the world for many years and not still make progress. It's all a bandwagon mentality. You're not growing. Praise God. It's just, we're a word church. Are you a word person? Is the word of God now your conviction? Or is it just a bandwagon effect? Just enjoying the camaraderie of the brotherhood? Or you have really come to find the word? Praise God. Seasons and phases of life determine how people, you know, receive God's word, but it ought not to be so. Whether you are young or old, married or married, afflicted, hale and hearty, you should have the same commitment to God's word. The same. Always receiving the word of God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And let me say this to you quickly. As a believer in Christ, you cannot blame the devil for your bad ways. If you turn out bad in the faith, it is not the devil. It was your choice. You don't get it. You are not under the power of the spirit of darkness anymore. The spirit at work in the sons of disobedience is not at work in you. What you have at work in you today is the spirit of God. Hallelujah. So you have the ability and capacity to say no to worldly influences. You have the capacity to withstand every pressure out there. You have the capacity to say no to ungodliness. You have the capacity. Glory to God. You are no longer a slave of sin. You are now a slave of righteousness. And having been set free from sin, you became what? Slaves of righteousness. And you have your fruit to holiness. The end. Everlasting life. So you can't say it's the devil. No, it was your choice. Hallelujah. Pastor, every time I pick my Bible, I just start feeling sleepy. Interest. It is not the devil. That is when the devil now comes with sleep. It's not the devil that came with sleep. Interest. Fan into flames. Would you sleep if you were at a job interview? Why doesn't the devil come at a job interview? Your eyes are so bright. You're noticing everywhere. You've seen the question they're about to ask you. You're so alert. But when it's time to read the Bible, you're asleep. The devil has come. It's not the devil. It's interest. Praise God. How do you overcome such things? You put structures in place. Amen. Structures. You start chewing gum. You take coffee if it works for you. You take water, put your leg inside water. You don't want to sleep. That's how people who don't want to fail exams, that's how they read. It's not about I'm feeling sleepy, I'm not feeling. You do it because you must do it. Praise God. There's a man who used to walk by the edge of a decking, an uncompleted building. Don't go and try it until you are sure. Praise God. At the end. Anytime he's feeling sleepy and he wants to pray, he begins to walk at the edge of a decking. He begins to talk in tongues. Because you know that if you go and blink, it's over. Praise God. Atigbe, ba, ba, rele. You're gone. So, you know, that danger consciousness doesn't make him sleep. Amen. Don't leave this meeting now and go and hang on the mask. In your environment. See, pastor said, look for danger zone. See, you're on your own. The idea is, find what works for you that keeps you awake so you can do spiritual things. How many of you stop reading your Bible when you're feeling sleepy? That's a wrong attitude. When you're feeling sleepy, you now get up, you shake your body, you put water. You must finish. Glory to God. I'll pray 2 hours. 10 minutes. Check the time. 15 minutes. 15. And you know, time goes slow when your mind is on it. It goes slow. Praise God. You check it again after 15 minutes. By now, maybe 20, maybe 2 hours. Time you check it, 17 minutes. All the time that moved was 2 minutes. Say, well, this thing is not for everybody. Hallelujah. This thing is not for everybody. We are all ministers. I don't know what that means. So, you have to stay. Glory to God. You have to persevere. You have to endure. You have to choose to go through it. That's why it's called discipline. Hallelujah. Oh, in my house, one time I tried it on my own. I said, I'm going to do 100 push-ups. By the time I did 3, I just killed myself. 3 out of 100. 1, 2, 3. I just laid down on the ground. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Ha! Homo. You know, it's been a long time I did it. So then I need to do 50. I'll do 50 again. So it was that same mindset. I'll do 100 today. 3. I was on the floor. I said, hey, but you know what? If I was in the gym and I had an instructor, they won't allow me to sleep. I actually had the energy for it. But you know, I was pampering myself until I now took it upon myself and said, no, I'm going to do it. And I began to do it. Praise God. So you get to that point where it's like a breaking point. It's like, if you do anything beyond this point, you will not make it. But it's all a deception. Glory to God. It's all a deception. The moment you drop that Bible and you get on Facebook, you'll be awake. You'll be very awake. You'll notice everything that does not concern you. I'm telling you, it's all a deception. So you must see, you must be smart. It's not a small thing, though. Praise God. It's not a small thing. There's a whole lot of, you know, teaching out there to derail you. That's why you must fix your teaching. There's worldliness, there's ungodliness, there's false teaching. You must open your mind to God's word perpetually on a daily basis. Let's begin to close. Hallelujah. Some people's most favorite part of the sermon. Amen. So, as the year, let's begin to close. They just close. Acts 20, 30 to 31. God's word must be received on a daily basis. You know the reason why I shared a lot about phases of life? Because those things happen to Christians and they are shocked. Those things can happen. We must not give people a false hope. The only steadfast and sure hope is in Christ. It's only Christ that cannot disappoint you or fail you. Someone promised you a business deal. Don't think it must work through. It must happen. The person can change his mind. Do you understand? So when such things happen to you, how do you manage them? Glory to God. How do you manage them? Heartbreaks in relationships because one party was unfaithful. How do you manage that? Head of a church where the pastor slept with the member of the church who was a wife to another prominent member of the church. Years back. How do they respond to such things? Well, the church moved on. They are thriving today. But you know, they have to deal with it by the wisdom of God. Those are very serious issues. A word place. Glory to God. A word place. So people must be prepared that whatever, come rain, come shine, in every season of life, I will stay with the word of God. Hallelujah. I'll stay with the word of God. When people are hit by such seasons, the only thing that will even keep them sane is they are staying with the word of God. Otherwise, they will lose their minds. Acts 20, and verse 30 to 31. I'm not one of those pastors that will say, just look at my marriage, look at my relationship. How old are we serve in the marriage? Look at my marriage. I'm not one of those. Praise God. We've not fought ever since we've married. We may never fight. Praise God. We've had that going on for years in courtship. We talk things out, we discuss things, and all those things. But that is not the guarantee of anything. Amen. A fighting spirit might be ahead. Huh? A fighting spirit waiting at junction Z. Glory to God. Pressures come in. Amen. Pressures. Who knows? Until we get there, we'll cross the bridge. So who is the example for the Christian? His pastor and his wife, or Christ and the church? Christ and the church. Hallelujah. Someone said, if this man of God could have this kind of crisis in marriage, who then can be saved? I heard it from somebody. I said, on time, praise God. Because most times what you've seen is the man comes to church and while he's preaching, my honey, he's always saying my honey, my damsel, praise God, they're always snapping pictures on Facebook, doing Instagram live. Some people are fighting in their house presently and they are doing Instagram live. Amen. We've never quarreled. After that broadcast, that would be the reason why they'll quarrel. Only why were you lying now? Only why were you lying? They will start quarreling again. Serious matters. Hallelujah. So me, when I see a divorced person, I don't say, kokonk. I don't know the story. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't know the story. You are kokonk. Until I now meet each and every one of them, or we hear the role you played. We can now say, this was the carnal person. Or these, both of them were carnal. Praise God. Acts of Apostles 20. And verse 30 to 31. He's already afraid to get married now. I like it too. You have to count the cost. Glory to God. Marriage is great. It's beautiful when two people agree to make it work. So count the cost. I know a brother who is always nagging at you in courtship. But, God will help us. He may not help you. Acts 20. The God that has not helped you in courtship may not help you in marriage. Yes, you must count the cost. Pastor, how come this is the first thing you are saying about marriage after you got married? May the Lord give you understanding. You know, people bring good reports from wedding. It's not my marriage I'm describing. Hallelujah. It's just reality of life. Amen. Reality of life. Acts 20. Glory to God. Oh Lord. Really, count the cost. The man is, whatever you cannot bear with in courtship, you can't bear with it in marriage. And that's what really leads to crisis. Amen. Lady cheated on you once, cheated twice, cheated three times. Then you say, I trust the Spirit of God within her. She's a Christian. Oh Lord. She's a Christian. That's why she will be cheating with Christians alone. She will not cheat in the club. Amen. She will just cheat with fellow Christians. Acts 20, 30 to 31. Glory to God. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years, I did not cease to warn everyone, night and day, with tears. From among yourselves, men will rise up and speak perverse things to draw disciples away after themselves. Look at this other place. Romans 16:17. Let's all read these things together. We're just reading. I'm not doing much explanation. Just reading. Romans 16 and verse 17. Glory to God. Want to go? Let's all read. Now I urge you, brethren, not those who cause divisions and offenses among you, contrary to doctrine which you learned, and what? Avoid them. 2 Corinthians 11:3-4. 2 Corinthians 11:3-4. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So don't worry, when we do a teaching on relationships, I'll give you assurance. But this one is to let you know what could be ahead. 2 Corinthians 11:3-4. Let's read. But I fear, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from what? The simplicity that is in Christ. For evil comes, preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or you, if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. So there's another Jesus, right? There's another gospel, right? There's another spirit. Yeah, the same thing, a different message. Colossians 2:4-8. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 4 to 8. Thank God for the word. Colossians 2:4-8. What does it say? Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established the faith as you have been taught, abounding in him with thanksgiving. Verse 8. Let's all read together. Beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Glory to God. So men can cheat you with philosophy and cheat you not and lead you astray. Not teach you concerning Christ, but according to earthly philosophies and ideologies. Look at this other place, 2 Timothy 2:15 to 18. 2 Timothy 2:15 to 18. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 to 18. The receiving of God's word is a serious matter. It's not a joke. It's a very serious matter. 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly doing what? Dividing the word of truth. Verse 16, let's all read together down to 18. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they would increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like what? Cancer. Shows you the effect. It could spread everywhere in the body. You could find that false teaching or heresy everywhere you turn in the body of Christ. Does not make it right. Hallelujah. The message will spread like cancer. Emmanuel and Philetus are of this sort, who are straight concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Listen, the Galatian church Paul addressed was not just one church. That's why you read from the beginning to the churches of Galatia. It was an entire church, an entire region. All the churches there were corrupted with the same falsehood. It can be everywhere. Does not make it right. But how do you discern that? You expose your mind to the word of God enough to be able to tell white from black. Not just white from black, white from gray. Red, black from gray. Gray from different shades of gray. Praise God. Sometimes it could look like it. It could come very close. But you must be able to tell the difference. How? How you are fed on God's word will determine that. 2 Timothy 3:13. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13. Glory to God. Hallelujah! Bible says, but evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Evil men and impostors will do what? Grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The word impostors there is the word that means seducers. They will seduce men away from the truth. Look at verse 14. But you must continue in what? You must continue in what? In the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise of salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be what? Complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. How do I guard my mind from impostors and evil men? By continuing in that which I have learned. Sound doctrine. I must continue in it till I'm built up and established in the faith. Glory to God. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1 to 3. Final scripture. Final scripture in this section. Praise God. 2 Peter 2, 1 to 3. Thank God for the word. Bible says, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many, how many will follow them? How many will follow them? Many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. This is about materialism mostly. It says by covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. The doctrine of materialism is like a canker in the body of Christ. It's everywhere. Many have followed their destructive ways. But a Christian who fits his mind with the word of God continually is now able to make a difference, make a distinction, is able to discern. This is truth. This is error. No, this is not of God. This is biblical. This is unscriptural. Because you have fed your mind well with the word of God. Let me ask you a question. If I say 2 times 2 is 6, did you meet a contrary knowledge in you? Because you know it, right? You've learned it well. But the person who is yet to grasp it, as, you know, simple as it sounds, will just be here saying, well, 6. And move on with 6. Glory to God. And then go to class on Monday, and the teacher will flog him. Praise God. because he cannot discern. He's yet to understand it. So he said, what you know well. Hallelujah. And people cannot tell you this is it if it is not it. It's about being rooted in what you know. Glory to God. Keep receiving. So the solution is to what? To keep receiving. To keep receiving. Listen, guys, the devil has several false teachings, several wrong ideologies for different people. He said your own is not legalism. You are not a legalist person. Ah, you don't want to, you know, be about laws and rules. Well, he's got you covered. It will give you materialism. So if you have not dealt with the lust and the desires in your heart, you will be an easy prey for the doctrine of materialism. There are people who are not legalists, but they are materialistic. And they are doing what though? Praise God. Very materialistic. There are those who say, well, I'm not for legalism. And they are caught in the web of intellectual things. Intellectual discourse. Philosophies of men. The man says words on the marble. Things that are wowing you. Things we'll find in books of secular authors. Amen. And you are wowed. Of course, intellectualism and materialism always go together. Legalism and materialism always go together too. But the people are always on the receiving end of the brutality of legalism. It is the teachers that enrich themselves in legalism. But when it comes to materialism, both the teacher and the audience, they are profiting from it. Praise God. Same with intellectualism. What about mysticism? The devil has different shades of error. You must be aware. And how will you be aware? You must first establish your mind with the word of God. Hallelujah. Establish your mind with what? Don't forget what I said. I took my time to say all I said about receiving. Don't delude yourself. Say we are word men in this church. This is a word church. We are word people. What do you know? Hallelujah. If the chips are laid down, are you going to keep making this confession of truth? Would you keep taking a stand for the truth? Glory to God. If life happens to you today and you seem to be battered and afflicted, would you still keep taking a stand for the truth? Glory to God. Don't delude yourself. It's about your personal commitment to these things. As you are being taught, you now go back. You feed again. All through the week, you keep receiving God's word. Dedicate at least 1 hour. It's not too much to ask. Amen. At least 1 hour. Like you are going for service. Receive God's word and pray. Receive God's word for at least 1 hour. Amen. And then after that, give yourself to prayer. Do this every day. Amen. Do this how many times? Can we all sing this song? Read your Bible, pray every day. Let's go. Read your Bible, pray every day. Pray every day. Pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day. If you want to grow. Is it not basic? If you want to grow. If you want to grow, read your Bible, pray every day, and pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, if you want to grow. I hope you are living according to the dictate of this one we just took. I hope while you are about to read your Bible, it doesn't cross your mind that you are missing out on some clients. And you immediately abandon everything and you start hunting for clients on Instagram. Praise God. I hope that now that you have gotten a very good job that is promising, you are now not in a chase for wealth and money to the neglect of God's word. And you are still expecting to grow. Hallelujah. And you are still expecting to grow. I think it was Aisha that said at their workplace, how many hours training when you resumed work? You got a new job. 10 hours every day, right? 10 hours every day. Did it make an impact? Why won't it? Every day, 10 hours. If we do that in church, we are extremists. You know? We are extremists. Ah, extreme. You know what? Tell you what. But people do not really prize God's word highly. Amen. God's word. The way we receive matters. And I'm saying to you, this is the only thing that will deliver results and work
for you as a Christian. If you get choked with activities, the world, your work, your business, your this and that, your relationship, your marriage, every other thing chokes the word of God, your commitment to God's word, forget it. You will not grow, even if you come to church every Sunday. Hallelujah. Even if you come to church every Sunday. Back to James. James chapter 1 and verse 22 to 25. Even if you come to church every Sunday. Collect the messages from the gym. Some of you ran home only to be waiting on Telegram. Waiting for a website. Something you could have collected here. Hallelujah. Just went. Some don't even remember after the service. Collect them. You don't even remember we said you collect because it's a habit. You don't have such commitment in your private space. So you already built a habit of going through your week wordless. And then you're expecting growth. It doesn't happen that way. Praise God. Input would always determine your output. What you take in is what you can give. You give to the degree that you are able, that you have been able to ingest the word of God. James 1, verse 22 to 25. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the word. Some folks met the word many years ago. Today they are singing a new tune. Alone, you just have the word baton. Hallelujah. Ah, word. Eh, word. We were also there. Ah, Ethaniel. You should be bearing fruit with the word on a regular basis. That's the testimony that we want to hear concerning everybody. That's the only valid testimony. That, you know, I met the word and today I'm bearing fruit in the word of God. I'm growing in my knowledge of Christ. I'm bearing fruit in the word of God. That will not come cheap. James 1, 22 to 25. Quoted this last week. In fact, we ended with this last week, if you remember. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So I said we must pay attention to two words. Forget. What is the word forget again? Epilantanomai. What does it mean? It means to neglect. It means to ignore what you have heard, what you have seen. So that's why the man is like a man who looks in the mirror, sees himself and goes away and immediately forgets. Immediately ignores what he saw. Hallelujah. He's not paying attention to what he saw. The forgetfulness is not poor memory. It is lack of paying attention to what you have seen and what you have heard. Glory to God. Second word there is the word doer. The word doer is the word poetis, which means to be a poet or a performer. Poetis is spelled P-O-I-E-T-E-S. It's in your last week notes if you have it. Poetis. A poem. A poet rather. How does a poet perform? You know, it goes through a series of rehearsals. It's taking in the script, the poem, he's memorizing the lines, and then comes out to give a beautiful rendition. And people say, wow. You know, but it's a result of rehearsals. Hallelujah. Because what you put in is what you put out. So you know how people have read James 1:22. Look at your Bibles now. You know how people have read James 1:22. This is how they've read it. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Don't deceive yourself, oh. Don't just yell. Make sure you also do. And then the pressure is now put on people to make sure they are doing. No, that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, don't be content with hearing till your hearing has led to doing. Hallelujah. It is not hear it, and as you have heard it, make sure you go and do something. No, you hear till your hearing promotes a doing. Hallelujah. And this is very clear. We're going to see it in context. Hearing alone is to hear and stop hearing. The man that will be a doer is the man that hears and continues to hear. Glory to God. So look at the rendition of James 1:25. It's clear in context. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. Continues to do what? Continues to look. The word in it there is in italics. It's not there. He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues. Continues to look. That is the man that will not be a forgetful hearer. Glory be to God.
Let me read to you some translations, some other translations of James 1:25. NIV. Listen. It says, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Have you seen what I said? The man who looks intently into it and continues to do this, continues to look intently. Glory to God. Look at the NCV translation. This is New Century Version. It says, but the truly happy people are those who carefully study God's perfect law that makes people free, and they continue to study it. They do not forget what they have heard, but they obey what God's teaching says. Those who do this will be made happy. Why will they not forget? Because they studied and they continued to study. Glory to God. Look at the NET version. NET translation. It says, but the one who peers into the law of perfect law of liberty and fixes his attention there. Have you seen? In all these translations, it's about the manner of hearing. The man who peers into the law of liberty and fixes his attention there, and does not become a forgetful hearer or a forgetful listener, but one who leaves it out, he will be blessed in what he does. Put this in your notes. Your first work is hearing. Your first work is not doing. No. In fact, doing is a reflex action to your hearing. It's a response to how much you have heard. Your first work is hearing. You keep hearing. You know, when we say we want to do retreats, what are you meant to do? You're meant to go outside with a bulk of tapes, pick your Bible, listen to a sermon, maybe a series, all through the day. Let's see what will happen to your mind. You'll be shocked. Hearing is where it begins, not doing. I would hear, and pay attention, more attention to hearing. Till hearing promotes doing. Glory to God. So, hearing is what lays the foundation for doing. The man that will do the word is the man that has heard the word well enough. Glory to God. Heard the word well enough. So, have you seen the reason why we are giving recommended teachings? And, you know, trying to keep people accountable. It's about your hearing. The moment your hearing is not fixed, forget it. Goodbye to spiritual growth. Hallelujah. Goodbye to what? Goodbye to spiritual growth. The moment your hearing is faulty, goodbye to spiritual growth. Glory be to God. So are you going to hear? You see, there's a need. It says to continue. We saw this last week. To continue in the faith. To continue to receive. To continue. We saw at 1 Timothy chapter 4. The man Paul saying to Timothy, how that if he gives himself entirely to these things, his progress will do what? Will appear to all men. So we continue. Glory to God. Fix your hearing, guys. Let us fix our hearing. Let us fix our receiving. Blueprints for spiritual maturity, starting point. My work is to hear God's word daily. Quality time. Glory to God. Hearing and listening to the word on a daily basis. Stay with this for 1 month and see a remarkable difference. Hallelujah. Then why are we even talking about a month? It's a lifetime journey. Hallelujah. A lifetime journey. But you know, the results you start seeing in the early days and weeks will make you realize, man, this is the way. This is what I should have been doing with my time, receiving and hearing God's word as I ought to. You say, well, Pastor, I'm a businessman. I often don't have time for spiritual things like that during the week. I don't have time to go outside and receive God's word. Then you are a very busy, you are too busy as a businessman. Praise God. No. You know that's a practical explanation of the cares of life and deceitfulness of riches entering in, choke the seed of the word. That's a practical illustration. The seed of God's word is already being choked. You must not be too busy to pay attention to God's word daily. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right. So let's have a church of men who are giving to the word on a daily basis. Lift your hands and give him praise. I'm going to, you know, share with ourselves what we learned in the next 5 minutes. But just go ahead and pray. You know, pray and reflect on these things. And reappraise your own commitment. I'm going to be more committed. I'm going to make it consistent. It's going to be daily. And it's going to be consistent. It's going to be daily and it's going to be consistent. You know, reflect on these things and have your own resolve. A resolve for the word of God. A resolve for the word of God. A resolve for spiritual commitment. Don't be too busy. Craft out your own schedule. You know, we didn't give anybody a particular time. We didn't say everybody by 7 p.m. make sure we're all listening to God. We don't, because people's schedules differ. That's the reason why we won't do that. So you should draw out your own plan and schedule. A plan that accommodates the receiving of God's word every day. A plan that accommodates the receiving of God's word every day. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Alright, share with your neighbor what you learned in the next 5 minutes, and then we'll swap. And ushers, go around quickly and collect people's notes. Make sure you have your name on your note too. Your name, so we can mark you. So we just need two ushers. One should start here, and the other should start here. Cover and collect people's notes. Be true to yourself. You see, if you check my own notes, I didn't write much yesterday because I was very weak in my body. So be true to yourself. Nobody is going to mark you down because you did something. We're going to be transparent. Why couldn't you follow up my work, my business? So we can talk to you about it, counsel you. If you were sick in your body, it's allowed also. So no trying to form. Make it look like you did everything when you did not. So just be real. And then you watch your growth, you know, happen steadily. You watch your growth happen steadily. So let's submit our notes. How do I manage my time? All this, anything. Just ask right away. And let's get an answer. Questions? Okay, where are the books? Please count. If you did not submit your notes, let me see your hand. Okay. So, after the service, just wait. Did we write their names? Yes, sir. Alright. So, just wait. We'll find out why. And then, this is a new week. You should get on it. The idea is to get a new note. And if your excuse is that you couldn't get the messages also, you can quickly fix that after the service. So, but we are going to ensure 24, okay, out of every one of us. So, that's not good enough. So we're going to still look into the 24 and see how they did. Praise God. So, you know, what this past week should have exposed to some of you is, you know, maybe your lack of consistency or indiscipline. You might find it very tough to really go outside and listen. So, and you know, that says a lot. That shows there's a need to change. Praise God. There's a need to change. All right. Questions? Any question? I'm waiting. Any question? Okay. Why did you wait so long? All right. Ask.
I was trying to word my thoughts correctly. So when you started, you said something about not overloading yourself with information.
When?
Like that was what I deduced. Like you said, when you should not get getting information from listening to this, listening to that, listening to a lot of messages, which can make you be tossed to and fro. That was what I deduced. I don't know if that was what you said.
But
here's my question. My question is, how do you now draw a line? Are you saying, okay, if I attend this church, this is just the message I'm supposed to listen to, or I'm open to other messages? I want to know how to draw the line.
Okay, the emphasis in the teaching is on what to feed on. Ephesians chapter 3, 17, rooted and grounded in the love of Christ, the gospel. Hebrews 13, 9, it is good that you have to be established by grace. Acts 20:32. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. The word of his grace. Again, 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the emphasis all through is on the message. So whether you are feeding from here, are you a member of church? No. You are about to be. Yeah. So whether you are feeding on here exclusively, or maybe from where you are coming from, you are still feeding. The point is, it must be the gospel. Did you get that? The gospel. It's not about, so that means I cannot read any other person's post on social media. That's not what we're saying. It is the content. It has to be the gospel. Do you get that? So that's not information overload, like you said. That's still the same truth of the gospel of Christ, and it will bring growth. So, and I said, what you find in the gospel is faith, assurance, certainty, hope. What you find in false teaching is fear. Any message that breeds fear, uncertainty is not of God. That unsettles you and robs you of your consciousness of assurance in Christ is not of God. Any other person? Question? So is that clear? Question? Is it that you don't have question or you want to go home? Question? All right, sir.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, Pastor, from some of the scriptures you gave us earlier on, from Romans 16. Sorry, am I communicating?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, from Romans 16, verse 17. That now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learn. And avoid them. Agreed. The doctrines they are bringing forth is a false one, which can turn us, which we should probably avoid. Now, instead of avoiding them, maybe turning them away, why not, get them knowing?
Get them to know the truth. Okay, doctrine. Let's go to Romans 16:17. What Paul was saying here is not that we cannot engage people or teach people. What I was saying specifically was even in a local church setting. So, let's assume that in this church now, after the meeting, or anywhere, maybe a brother or sister visits you and begins to teach things contrary to the gospel. We also have to be very careful with this text because it's not talking about denominational doctrines. So if somebody comes to your house and does not bring the gospel, is a member of the same local church, you are in a position to reject what he's saying and avoid. So he says to be careful of those who cause divisions among you, because their doctrine will eventually create faction in the church. Some people believe speaking in tongues is New Testament. Some people believe it has passed away. You know that kind of faction in the church. So he says to avoid such. You don't pay attention to what they have to say. On a broader spectrum, it can apply also generally to the body of Christ, where we are watching out for people who teach on sound doctrine. So avoiding them is not don't talk with them. Avoiding them is don't listen to what they have to say. Don't pay attention to their message. It doesn't mean you cannot engage them with the gospel or teach, but don't pay attention to what they have to say. Don't pay attention to their doctrine. Praise God. Is that clear? Don't pay attention to their doctrine. All right.